Yeah, I wasn't going that way, and it wasn't certainly. I didn't feel, you know, going, you know, specifically to him to go. But you're right. You know, our explosive plays to get generated from Terry. You know, such a big part of what we do. And if somebody had to say, hey, we're taking this player away with a double or something than other guys, that's a bigger factor. But I didn't sense that was the case, Ben.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll spin you around the NFL, get you a headline from every NFL game going into Week 11 in just a few moments. Want to remind you that our show is brought to you by the good folks at Kandori & Murad. That's a law firm that takes good care of us. You can schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. They'll set you up with a will and testament or any other of the important things you may need, including consultations to get you a revocable trust as well. Again, kmlawyers.com. They are good friends of ours. We had a blast with them going to Philadelphia.
You guys are the best, man.
This morning started with you and I waking up in a hotel room, different hotel rooms. As far as you guys know.
Keep the illusion of the mind, right? They didn't have to know that.
Nobody will ever know.
We were in hotels. We had breakfast together. Came down at the same time and had breakfast together. It's not a big deal.
What is Danny doing here, Dad? He came over last night. I don't know.
Remember that line from, why am I blanking?
Because he likes breakfast so much. It's knocked up.
No, I'm thinking of Kingpin. We're like, sometimes Mr. McCracken is already there when I wake up. And he's like, ha, ha, ha. Anyway, like, because he's with the kid's mom. Anyway.
Yeah. I was thinking Knocked Up, where they're sitting around having breakfast, and she, like, comes walking in, or Seth Rogen comes walking in. And the girl's like, why is he here so early in the morning? And then Paul Rudd goes, because he likes breakfast so much.
Such a good bet.
So strong. But, all right, I'm not going to go full Cowherd just yet. I'm not going to do it. I will not go full Cowherd just yet.
But you never want to go full Cowherd, but you might be going partial Cowherd here.
Well,
Grant Cow.
We had a little research project during the break.
Oh, man.
Me and a couple of the fellas out here at the bar.
Gosh.
We have found three games with comparable weather to last night in Jaden Daniels' college career. Okay? We worked back from when has he played in games that were cold. That was our theory.
Okay.
We found three games where the weather was almost identical to last night. That's as cold as we found, which was roughly in the 45-ish degree area, between 45 and 50 degrees, right?
Okay.
In those three games, our data, all the way back to Utah, 2019, Oregon State, 2021, and Washington, 2021, our guy did not have his best football games. Now, I'm not saying that we have anything just yet, but I'm saying we have found three games with similar temperatures where Jaden Daniels struggled a little bit. And he is a guy from Southern California who played at Arizona State, who then played at LSU, was playing road games last year at the end of the year at Florida in December. It maybe the cold weather bothers him a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not as – respectfully, Grant Cow, I'm not as interested in the 2019 data.
Right.
As I am maybe like last year when he was the Heisman Trophy winner because the arc of his career.
He didn't play cold weather games.
That's true. The arc of his career – he's not the same guy that he was 5 years ago. I mean, he played a lot of college games and dramatically improved.
So you're not interested in he has three times ever played in games where the weather was similar to last night and it went similarly. You're not interested in that.
The data points are interesting. I love information. I will not put weight on a 2019 statistical performance if it was 100 degrees or 0 degrees. Because he didn't put up great stats as a 19-year-old freshman or an 18-year-old freshman.
Reasonable.
Was in 2019.
I'm not asking you to. I'm just telling you we have found three games with similar weather to this point. My research project will continue into the weekend.
It is ongoing. Now, it is an interesting data point.
I had one commercial break and two statistical assistants, and the three of us putting our heads together. We have not landed any spaceships just yet, but we have found three football games. That's what we have done.
That's all we got. It's more than I had before, so I appreciate the info.
We will continue our reporting, and we will get back to you guys in the future. With that, let's go around the NFL Week 11, ready for a Red Zone Sunday. We'll start you off with the Packers and the Bears. Soldier Field in Chicago. This is a 1 o'clock East kick on Fox. Matt Eberflus might be coaching for his job. Feels like he's going to survive the season because they already blew out Shane Waldron, the OC now. But I could see this ending with him being fired if they have yet another stinker against Green Bay at home. And you know, Bears fans are restless. They are livid. They are trying to fix their broken offense by turning the play calling over to a guy in Thomas Brown who was the offensive coordinator for Bryce Young last year, who got fired in Carolina.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like the best prescription. Give me Green Bay on the road.
Yeah, a little dead cat bounce potential maybe, but you're free of the awful and horrible Shane Waldron, but, you know, I'm not sure his replacement's better. That happens sometimes. You get a small sample of good, but I don't trust it. Give me Green Bay.
Lopsided matchup on paper in Detroit. The Jaguars are 2-8 without their starting quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Mac Jones gets the call again. The Detroit Lions, your hosts, 8-1 with a chance to get to 9-1 after a bit of a miracle win against the Houston Texans in primetime this past week. Detroit's going to have 9 wins and sitting atop the NFC looking pretty when this one's over.
So the Jacksonville Jaguars have shown a bit of friskiness, may I offer, over their last 3 games. They have not won any of those 3 games, but instead of just getting boat raced as they had pretty much done previously, lost by 3 to Green Bay, lost a competitive game to Philadelphia. They were losing by a lot but came back in that one and held Minnesota to only 12 points in a bizarre twist of fate. It's one of the worst defenses in the sport. But at home for Detroit, I expect them to run roughshod.
Yeah, I think the Vikings, too, should have beaten them by a lot.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold was really bad.
He was so turnovery.
He threw 3 bad interceptions in that game. Darnold, who has played pretty well for Minnesota, slowing down and kept Jacksonville in that game. Let's go to Miami, where don't look yet, but the Dolphins might be getting right. They beat the Rams 23-15. At 3-6, they still have an outside chance at the playoffs. They're going to have to string some wins together. They actually have a favorable schedule to do so. They play the Raiders, Patriots, Jets all coming up in the next month. They have to get a win against Las Vegas. It starts out this weekend at home in Miami. I believe Gardner Minshew gets the nod in this game.
This is your pug? This is your dog?
No, not my French Bulldog Fiona.
French Bulldog, yeah.
This would be the quarterback.
Gotcha.
Who has a mustache and wears tight pants.
That is what he does. You're talking about the second place Miami Dolphins, by the way? That division, ew, that's the deal. They're 3-6 and in second place behind the Bills, who have a bit of a cushion, I might add. But, yeah, the Dolphins looked as good as they have all of a sudden here over the last couple of weeks. But a chance for them to be outside looking in, but they have a chance to make up some ground.
Fun game in that the Rams need a win. They're 4-5, and they're taking on the 3-7 New England Patriots. This is a New England team that is starting to look a little bit better. They beat the Bears by 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
They took the Titans to the brink in overtime 1 week before that. I mean, they are basically an overtime loss away from 3 straight wins. Drake May's playing pretty well. I think they're like what they're seeing in their young quarterback, just like we do in here in D.C. as well. You got the Rams and the Patriots in New England. I like the Rams to win. I still think L.A. makes the playoffs. They'll be 5-5 going into week 12.
So I did this last year, too, where I left them for dead after a really rough start where they seem to be always injured, always beat up. They lack depth. And then, whisper quiet, all of a sudden, they won a bunch of games in a row with one dip in there. They won 3 in a row, lost an overtime game at Baltimore. This is last year. Then won 4 straight, again, to kind of end their season. They're sort of doing that now. A tough, weird morning game, or maybe it was Thursday Night Football, I guess, Miami this past week. But they're playing a lot better than they were earlier on this season.
Brown Saints in New Orleans, this is an awful game. You got to be a parent of one of these players to want to watch this one. Cleveland 2-7, New Orleans 3-7 in the Superdome. Jameis Winston time. He's been starting for the Browns. Derek Carr still has the gig for New Orleans, back from injury. They just beat the Falcons. They
yes.
got their dead cat bounce, turning things over to their special teams coach as their interim head coach after firing Dennis Allen. But both of these teams are effectively now playing out the string of their season.
They're both gross. The Saints, as you correctly alluded to, got rid of Allen. So next thing you know, they played their best game of the year since their 46-point-per-game start when they went 2-0. Never forget that part, by the way. Cleveland, I think the competitive portion of their season is over. This is one only one, as you said, a mother could love.
Colts, Jets, Indianapolis is the story here. They are going back to Anthony Richardson. Mm. They benched Richardson at 4-4 because Flacco had been decidedly better. Flacco played really badly the last 2 weeks. They lost because of him, essentially. And so now they go back to Richardson, who the last time he played benched himself because he said he was tired.
I'm tired.
Needed a break.
You know what? I'm a little tuckered. Would you finish this segment for me?
Bad, bad situation. But he's now playing, I think, for his future there.
Yeah.
If he struggles down the stretch, as crazy as it sounds, because he's raw and young and super talented in terms of the tools, he might be out of a gig in Indianapolis, and they may move on looking for a quarterback. Meanwhile, the Jets, If they can't beat the Colts, would be 3-8. I think things could get really, really ugly in New York with that media and Aaron Rodgers going head-to-head down the stretch. They need a win to stave off the Wolves.
You've got to spend the entire pulse and fortune on a wager. Jets are 3.5-point favorites at home. Do you trust them at all?
No.
At all?
That hook's a killer. I mean, I think they win. I would probably buy the point 2.5 or something like that. But no, they're not good enough for me to take them to beat anybody by more than a field goal.
That's kind of where
their offense is terrible.
It's anemic. Despite Garrett Wilson putting up numbers, despite the addition of Davante Adams and Breece Hall is nasty, doesn't matter. They're gross.
Typically, you could tell me, well, their defense is really good and they'll shut Richardson down. Their defense isn't good either. Their defense hasn't played.
No,
that
it's not
well.
What we're used to. I mean, that group was an elite unit, I would say, for a couple seasons. You know, weighed down at times.
Yeah, there was a time.
Yeah, weighed down by the fact that the offense kept screwing them over. You know, they'd average about 10 minutes time of possession per game, numbers approximate. And then so the numbers would be worse, but you could tell down in, down out, that group could play. Hasn't been the same.
They gave up 31 points this past week.
Yeah.
The Jets did.
Chris.
Let's go to the game of the week in the NFL. This is going to be very fun. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. This game's in Pittsburgh. 1 o'clock kick on Sunday. This is going to highlight the slate. In fact, what are you going to do with your afternoon off, Commanders fans? You might want to major in this football game. How about that?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. You know it's AFC North. It's always gross. It's always a pushing contest. Even with offenses, by the way, the Ravens' offense is a juggernaut. We've seen that. And Pittsburgh's offense with Russell Wilson is good. Not great. They're not world-beating, but they're good. They're different than we're used to seeing there in Pittsburgh. I think Arthur Smith has kind of found this perfect marriage. And good for Mike Tomlin, who, again, I would just put in charge of things. I love that guy so much. He basically said to Russell Wilson, this whole you have an entourage and an office and stuff like that that's accompanied you different places, we're going to not do that here. You're going to do it the Mike Tomlin way, which is the way that always wins, and that's a great matchup for them. So for Baltimore, they need this one a little bit because they've had a couple of bogeys when they need to make up some ground. And for Pittsburgh, what a stamp they could put on that division.
First place game, 7-3 Baltimore, 7-2 Pittsburgh. First team to 8, driver's seat in the AFC North. Let's go to the Vikings and Titans. This will be a fun jersey matchup. I know you don't care about that.
Correct.
Got the purple of the Minnesota Vikings, that beautiful Tennessee Titans uniform. 7-2 Vikes. They keep winning, despite the fact that their offense has come back to the pack.
Yeah.
Darnold, as we talked about earlier, has regressed. But they're good enough to beat the Titans, I would think, on the road. Tennessee's 2-7. We'll see them after Dallas here in D.C. They're much better defensively than they are offensively. Offensively, they're pretty broken. Will Levis, who played well last week, threw for a 175 and a couple of touchdowns without turning the ball over, is normally good for one or two back-breaking decisions a week. Minnesota's going to roll.
Yeah, Minnesota needs to kind of get back on the good foot with that offense, right? As you're looking at a defense that frankly won the game for them this past week against Jacksonville, they can't bail you out like that every week.
All right, let's get to the 4 o'clock window, your second window on Sunday. Falcons-Broncos. I don't like this matchup for Atlanta. My guy Kirko Chains, man.
This Denver defense is good.
Yes, they are.
They are good.
Atlanta 6-4, first place, win, and they're in a really good spot in the South. But Denver's awesome defensively. They can rush the quarterback. The Falcons didn't look right this past week. They've been very effective on offense. Then they ran into New Orleans. It's a bit of a struggle on the road. Mm-hmm. They are back on the road, and that's a tough place. Plus, think about Cousins in Denver. When he was here a couple of times he played in Denver, he struggled. I remember a game with the Vikings where he really, really had a tough day there. Has not been a friendly stadium to him either, for whatever that's worth.
That's a good nugget. Yeah, and Denver right there in the playoff picture. I mean, they're not good. Nobody's saying that they are, but they're, you know, kind of in that middle-of-the-road type spot where if you win a couple of games that are winnable for you, you could end up with enough Ws to be in the postseason because they're ahead right now of the Colts and the Bengals and maybe the Dolphins. You want to include them in that group at 3-6 with, you know, already having had their bye week. But Denver's kind of might mess around and be a postseason team.
Yeah. They would be, even if they lose, still tiebreaker friendly because they beat Tampa twice, but the Bucs are 4-6, so they'd be basically a game and a half back of first place at that point in the South. How about the Seahawks and the 49ers? I think we have seen San Francisco turn a corner now. They got Christian McCaffrey back last
week.
They're
scary now.
He was very good, both through the air, where he made some big plays, and running the football. They are 23-20 winners last week against Tampa, despite missing a few field goals. That should have actually been 32 points for them in that game. Seattle, 405 in San Francisco. If they win, that's 3 in a row, 4 out of 5 for the Niners. You feel like they're back where they need to be. If they lose, though, and Seattle pulls off the upset, breaks a 2-game skid, don't look now. They're 5-5, and they would be right in the mix in the very mediocre NFC West.
Yeah, Arizona leading that division now. I certainly don't trust that to continue. But to your point, if San Francisco wins, that's a 6-4 team. Washington, I remind you, is 7-4. All of a sudden, there's a little hot breath on the back of your neck there as somebody's charging a little
bit. Only until you beat the Cowboys by 17.
There you go. But still, San Francisco.
And then you beat the Titans by 14.
San Fran is a postseason team when everything is right, and they're getting right.
Yeah, they're going to win that division for sure. But Seahawks fans don't really know which way to go here. Like, I'll talk to a Seahawks fan 1 minute, and they're telling me we're going to see Sam Howell in a week. And then the next, they're going, I think we could win playoff games. Like, it could go one way for the other or the other for them.
I don't know which ends
in
up.
That division. The second best game of the day, maybe the best.
This is my one seed
in football. The Chiefs and the Bills. I say second best, even though it's 9-0 Kansas City, 8-2 Buffalo, even though this is maybe an AFC Championship game preview, I just find watching the Chiefs, as sexy as it once was, it's now, like, unaesthetically unpleasing. It's every game is 17-16 with blocked field goals and some kind of weird call at the end. I like the Bills to beat them, though. It just seems to me like the Chiefs have been playing with, on borrowed time, a little bit of house money here. And you think at some point they're not going to make the big play to get over the hump. But the Bills are super banged up. They're missing a few key pieces. They're top tight end. Dalton Kincaid is out. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Keon Coleman's not going to play. So they'll be down some weapons for Josh Allen.
I'm just going to remember, obviously, that you picked against us. It's going to be bulletin board material primarily. But I talked to Coach Reed and Triav and all them guys. And obviously, we're not know. Nobody's ever given out a trophy for being good in November. So we're going to go to Buffalo, give it our best, and kind of keep after them. But that's a good football team over there. But we got a good one here, too. That's just a game preview.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Not a big deal. Oh, stop it. Chop it.
You didn't know Patrick Mahomes would be
here. For real, dog. I made the trip.
Grant and Danny working our way through the Week 11 slate in the NFL. It's a Sunday where you don't have to worry about watching Washington. You might tune in to primetime, Sunday Night Football, Bengals, Chargers. Chargers, 6-3. Jim Harbaugh.
We're talking about unsexy. They're so boring.
All they do is run the football.
Calmly effective.
Couple play actions. Yep. Never turn it over. Harbaugh's doing the thing again.
He's Harbaughing.
Everybody knew he was going to do this. Nobody wanted him. No, I think a couple owners maybe, but like fan bases didn't. He just goes places and wins, and he wears those glasses that are magnifying glasses for his eyeballs. You know what I'm talking about? And he like gets up in your face about it, and he's like, I'm going to attack the day with enthusiasm unknown to world
time.
Like,
I'm going to strangle today like it's like it did me wrong. And I'm going to bury it and smother it. And I'm like, dude, I don't know how to talk. I just want to know if you want coffee. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Whatever a lot to deal with is.
Oh, he's
the
most.
That.
But he wins.
He's here to be weird and chew bubble gum, right? And then he wins some football games.
He's fresh out of bubble mint.
He is a football guy's guy's football guy's guy.
Guy.
But the Bengals, 4-6. I can't.
They're in it.
I don't want to drive a stake through them. They got Burrow planted MVP level.
Yeah,
this is the best we've ever seen Joe
and
Burrow.
I'm guessing T. Higgins plays, right? And they're different when he plays. It's just another counter to loading up on Jamar Chase.
Why are you guessing that?
I mean, I saw him at I saw some video of him running up a hill where he looks comfortable.
Well, but the Bengals are playing in a game. T. Higgins can't play. Why would?
I think he plays.
As one of his fantasy owners, I promise you, if the Bengals are playing.
No, I've gone through it.
He's not allowed to play.
You'll never get me right on this. When he was fine, and he played one snap once in a playoff game for me in my big money league. He played a snap and then sat down. He went, you know who can screw off is that Randy Douye fella.
After 2 years of this, I might actually put him on my I can't roster him list, and he'll be somewhere else next year.
He's on for me.
Monday Night Football, Texans, Cowboys, which is good because Dallas has a short week coming to Washington.
Here
next
we
week,
go,
as if that matters because they are terrible.
Give them a month.
Oh, they're so bad. Dallas is so bad. The Capitals are good. They play tonight. Let's get you a Caps power play. Was that a Caps pop?
Well, Caps pop.
Wow, the people are going crazy for the Capitals. We love it. Man, they've been sitting here waiting for us. You should have told me. We could have been talking Caps the last 4 hours. 10-4-1 Capitals, looking for win number 11 tonight in Colorado against the Avalanche. The Avs got off to a strangely slow start. They're 9-8. It's a great barn, good environment, going to be loud. Ovi hunting goal number 11 as he plays now in game 15 of the season.
Nathan MacKinnon leads the league in points. He's got 33 of them. Here's the thing with Colorado. They give up goals. They love doing that. This might be a good night for a certain player that wears a single-digit number, that's 4 times 2 or 6 plus 2 or different ways to get to 8 to score some goals. That's what I'm looking for against Colorado.
Big voice guy?
What's the big voice guy doing? I kind of had a natural stop there.
No, I get it. Me and the big voice guy aren't on the same page. So last time, I jumped in right after you.
Yeah.
And the big voice guy was going to jump right in right after you.
Oh.
So I knew this would happen. This time, I sat out waiting for the big voice guy. And the big voice guy was like, well, I don't want us talking.
I don't want us talk over him.
So we were just kind of two ships passing in the night, as it were.
Yeah, right. We'll get the in the film room. We'll talk about a big voice guy.
And the Commanders aren't the only ones that need to get back to work. Me and you, we got to study the tape from today.
Yeah, that was our Thursday Night Football against the Eagles moment with the big voice guy.
We're going to get better. We got to thank everyone who came out today.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun in Silver Spring with
thank you to Third Hill
listening audience, folks that came and went, and those of you that have been kicking with us throughout the afternoon, we appreciate you. Third Hill Brewing is a great spot. You guys should check it out. Georgia Avenue. We've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves.
This place is gorgeous, man. Really, really nice facility. We've had the little garage door style open. Good beverages. Food is delicious. I highly recommend.
Next time you hear these voices, it'll be Monday at 2 o'clock, and we'll be back in our really boring studios in Half
Stupid
Street.
Stupid studio.
Here's the good news. We're not going to be there very long. Next Friday, we are back in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Virginia's doing great.
Virginia's doing great. We're going to be at the Casual Pint in Falls Church. We are coming your way for the Friday field trip. You got your work cut out for you. Maryland did some things the last couple of
weeks.
Right,
Maryland put up a little bit, yeah. Right? We challenged them, and they responded.
Kristen Hyattsville said, come to Maryland or lose a listener.
It's the piano key necktie.
That's
he invented
right.
It.
For Ryan, Darris, Metal Chris, and our stew out, our entire crew out here, Grant and Danny saying so long. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Monday.
Thank you for coming.